Welcome to the Pig Health Today podcast, where we talk all health all the time. Hear engaging interviews with today's leading industry experts. Hosted by Pig Health Today editors, podcast episodes highlight the latest ideas, insights, and advice to improve pig health, welfare, and performance.
Hi, I'm Caroline Stocks with Pig Health Today, and with me is Clayton Johnson, who's a swine veterinarian at Carthage Veterinary Service. Clayton, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Caroline.
We're talking about biosecurity on sow farms. We always assume it's something that's a high priority for sow units. What's the reality?
Oh, well, I think there are many sow units out there, and as a result, you do get some variation in how high of a priority it is. For me, as a veterinarian, it's absolutely probably the highest priority when I go to visit the farm. I always view biosecurity as a situation where if I allow something to happen on a farm without commenting on it or providing feedback that it's inappropriate, it's a biosecurity risk we don't want, I've essentially told the farm that it's okay to do, if that makes sense. The old saying, what you don't coach, you condone. I think that's really important for me to remember as I evaluate biosecurity on the farm. If the workers do something in front of me and I don't say anything about it, if I don't communicate the risk to them, I'm not going to be effective in prioritizing biosecurity on the farm because I've essentially just told them it's not that big of a deal. I think where you get in the very pig dense areas, you get a higher prioritization of biosecurity on the farm. The disease transmission risk is greater there. A lot of times your farm workers have had a disease outbreak before and they know the misery that can come of working through that, trying to care for those sick animals. It's no fun for anybody. So that has instilled a focus in biosecurity in some of those farms that are in pig dense areas that maybe you don't have in non-pig dense areas, because the reality is in non-pig dense areas, there's not a lot of challenge. There's not a lot of contaminated items that show up to the farm. If we're raising pigs in Alaska, we don't need amazing biosecurity because there are no other pigs in Alaska to transmit disease to our farm. Where there's not pigs, there's not pig disease. And as a result, you probably have some less focus on biosecurity in some of the areas that are less pig dense, but they may actually have less disease outbreaks.
So in situations where there are breaches in biosecurity, what kind of health issues are sows most vulnerable to?
PED and PERS are probably the two things that we talk about the most. They're devastating economic consequences, but you've also got some other diseases out there that we deal with regularly that you also can impact with biosecurity. Seneca Valley virus is one that's come into our industry in the last 3 or 4 years, probably been here longer than that actually now, but it's something that you can again highlight as a reason for good biosecurity. Delta coronavirus is a new one. Mycoplasma, a lot of herds have eradicated mycoplasma, sow herds, and so now they're susceptible to a mycoplasma infection, and we need to try and prevent that. And then certainly there's influenza as well.
You touched on this a little bit at the beginning, but what's the veterinarian's role in ensuring that there's good biosecurity on pig units?
Yep, it's a great question. I think our role is pretty all-encompassing. I think our role is not only helping to define the protocols and set the expectation, what are the standards, how are we going to enter in supplies, enter in people, enter in animals, manage mortalities. We have to write those protocols. I think we also have to be heavily involved in training those protocols, explaining why they're important, why are we doing different steps, helping to create buy-in on the farm. I think we also have to be involved in the actual auditing as well. We can have other folks help with the audits. You know, once we've defined a program, we can share what the program is and say, hey, Caroline, can you stop by this farm and make sure that the shoes are on this side of the bench and the towels are on this side of the shower, those sorts of things. But I think we as a veterinarian have to audit it really on every visit when we go, because like I mentioned before, if we don't coach it when we see a problem, we are going to tell the farm indirectly that what we observed was okay to do. So it's really got to be something that you're very picky about when you're visiting the farm, and you have to keep it as high on the priority list as possible, because if you don't, nobody else is going to go there and evaluate it.
So in terms of those audits that you just mentioned, how often should they be carried out and what kind of detail do they need to entail?
Yeah, good question. At a minimum, we generally go to sow farms monthly. And I think there's a minimum set of questions you should have on your checklist when you go to a sow farm related to biosecurity. Those key core components of how do we get people and things in and out of the farm, that should be audited every single month. I think a more aggressive biosecurity audit should be done at a minimum annually. But ideally, probably quarterly would be good, where you do have a visit that's dedicated just to biosecurity, where you're not working on baby pig scours in the farrowing house, where you're simply focused on biosecurity. For farms that have filtration, air filtration in place, those farms do need additional audits as well. Auditing an air filtration situation is going to take an all-day visit, especially on a large farm. And those are generally going to happen weekly, is pretty common in the system of managed farms that we have. And not always by a veterinarian necessarily, but we have trained technicians that's their sole focus. They audit filtration and that's all that they do. Each of those are going to have a different checklist. The monthly audit by the veterinarian, some of those questions are important, so they're going to be on each of those. But as the time availability increases, the ability to dig deeper and look in the cracks and crevices, if you will, of biosecurity, you've got more time to look at more things.
And who needs to be involved in the audits? Is it just the farm managers, or is it people like maintenance personnel? Who is actually involved?
Yep. The farm manager is generally going to be involved on the monthly audit. You're going to walk the farm together and they'll be deeply involved in that one. The farm manager is probably also going to be involved in that more intensive quarterly or annual type audit where biosecurity is just the focus. The farm manager probably won't be involved in those filtration audits because they happen so frequently and they really are in depth. And at a certain point, the farm manager has to manage the farm. So they can come once a month, spend time with me, once a quarter, that sort of thing. But asking them to do it every week, that's going to be difficult. For the annual or the quarterly, I do like to have maintenance personnel there. I also like to have the decision makers from a capital perspective. If we find something big that needs money spent to fix it, we want to have the person who would ultimately be the decision maker for approving or not approving that spend, we'd like to have them there so they can see exactly what we're talking about. If we have our maintenance folks there, they can help us with an estimate of maybe what the cost would be or the solution, and we can pretty quickly put together a decision on, are we going to address this or are we simply going to accept the risk that we've identified?
I'm guessing these audits can run into costs, and some of the other biosecurity measures can also be costly. How can a farmer decide how to prioritize which biosecurity measures they put in place?
Yeah. You know, biosecurity is risk management. Risk management is a continuum where you can choose to have 0% risk tolerance and you can choose to have 100% risk tolerance. And each producer gets to select where they'd like to invest on that continuum. Think of biosecurity kind of like insurance. There's probably a minimum level of insurance that you would recommend for everybody. But there are also many other tiers of insurance investment that an individual can choose to make. I think the producer should ask themselves, what's the value of the herd, right? Am I trying to protect a multiplication farm in which the individual animals have tremendous value because of their genotype? Or am I trying to protect, say, a finishing barn that's a small site and is just raising commercial animals? As the value of the animal increases, so therefore should the insurance policy with biosecurity that you're trying to buy.
So is it a case of then ranking the issues and trying to work out which ones work best for you?
That's exactly right. Say in those more intensive audits where you've got the maintenance folks there and you've got the decision makers, at the end of those, stack ranking the opportunities is really what you're trying to do. You say, okay, we identified that we would like to build a new UV chamber. We think the UV chamber we use to enter the employee lunches is too small and it's not effective, so we want to build one. Well, that's got a cost of this. The veterinarian needs to assign some sort of a value to it. So how much less disease are we going to see if we make that investment? And you look at the return on each of those individual opportunities, and it's that return generally that helps you to stack rank it. And everybody's got a budget. So when you run out of money, you want to make sure that you do it at the top end of that list and not starting at the bottom of the list.
So based on your experience then, what do you see as some of the most common biosecurity challenges, and what kind of measures can actually resolve them?
Yeah. Bringing supplies into the farm is a common challenge for many farms that I go visit. We almost always have underbuilt the tools that we use to bring supplies into the farm. And the two most common that I think you'll see are UV chambers for the employees to enter in their lunch and some maybe small items in there. And then also what we call D&D rooms or disinfection rooms, which are a little larger area to bring in your more bulk supplies and where we can apply chemical disinfectant, generally through a fogging machine in those rooms. So we aerosolize the disinfectant when the supplies are in there and then bring them in after they've been disinfected. It's easy to write a protocol on how to do that. It's hard to actually execute that protocol and make it perfect unless you have a room that gives you a lot of size to bring in the supplies. For a sow farm in particular, they have got they've just got a lot of supplies that come at them every single month. And we ask, say, for example, in that disinfection room, that the supplies are spaced out so that the aerosolized disinfectant can contact each side of it. Well, that starts to take up a lot of space. And we unfortunately have not always had the luxury of having all the space that we need to effectively do that.
So what would your top biosecurity advice be for veterinarians and for producers alike?
I think biosecurity advice for veterinarians is really just to be a champion for it. Like I mentioned, if you go onto a farm and you observe something and you don't comment on it, or you don't take the opportunity to educate them of the risk that's out there, you're creating a situation where complacency can dominate. And those behaviors will likely be repeated because the folks on the farm will say, well, Doc saw it and didn't say anything, so it must be okay to do. I think that's first and foremost for veterinarians. For the folks that work at the farms, I would say use the tools that you have. Don't focus on maybe the fact that your farm isn't filtered. Focus on what you've got. Focus on making sure that you use the showers correctly, that you use your UV chamber correctly. Don't have a defeatist approach and say, well, we don't have all the bells and whistles, so we're probably doomed to fail. Use the technology you've got. You made the investment in it. Use it regularly.
Thanks for listening to the Pig Health Today podcast. To get the latest news and interviews delivered to your inbox twice a week, subscribe to our e-newsletter by visiting pighealthtoday.com/join.